This is Fresh Air.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black, and I'm black.
The whole rap music scene is satirized in the new film CB4. It's about three middle-class African-American friends who remake themselves into gangster rappers. Chris Rock of Saturday Night Live stars in the film. He also co-wrote it. Saturday Night Live's Phil Hartman plays a right-wing politician crusading against rap. CB4 was directed by my guest, Tamra Davis. It's her second feature. She also directed the recent independent film Gun Crazy, which starred Drew Barrymore. Davis got her start making music videos for rock and rap stars like Sting, Lou Reed, Sonic Youth, Tone Loc, Young MC, and MC Light. Here's a scene from CB4 in which the middle-class would-be gangster rappers are meeting with a record executive who's considering signing them.
Okay, guys, I love the image. But let me ask you one thing. Are you sure you want to be Gusto? Why not something like Ice Pick, Ice Coffee? I mean, ice is really happening right now. Let's get it started. So, I want you to sign with us, and you want to sign with us, and we want you to want to sign with us. Now, let me ask you guys a couple of questions. Do you cuss on your records?
Yeah.
Do you defile women with your lyrics?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you, fondle your genitalia on stage?
Yeah.
Whenever possible.
Mm.
I asked Tamra Davis what she had to do to get in the spirit of this hip-hop parody.
I definitely felt, you know, when I was going in on these meetings that I knew that world, you know, from my experience, from my everyday life, you know, I definitely know that, you know, that rap world. And, you know, what I had to prove to them also is that I knew how to make a movie, which was Gun Crazy. So, you know, so that was interesting. The only thing that I felt, and the studio or, you know, all the powers that be felt that they didn't know for sure, was my ability to work with comedy. And, you know, that's where Chris Rock comes in, because he's supposed to be funny, you know. So, you know, it was interesting. So what I did is I didn't really go and look at, you know, I'm around rap all the time. So I kind of more tried to watch comedies to try to figure out, how do I make a comedy? And it's like on Gun Crazy, I could look at all these amazing, you know, film noir films, or, you know, there's so much that you could take from. And I mean, you know, you look at Naked Gun or the Bill Murray, whatever, all the contemporary lampoon comedies, there's nothing as a filmmaker that you get inspired from, like, oh God, I want to do something like that. And so the only person that I really loved his comedies is Woody Allen. As a filmmaker, he's, you know, a genius comedy maker. And that was definitely one of the first films Chris Rock told me to see. He's like, go see Take the Money and Run, you know, and, you know, that's what we want to do. And so so that's kind of how I really, you know, most of my work and you know, was looking at Woody Allen. And then, you know, this when we got the Go project, I had 6 weeks to prepare, you know, to shoot this incredible, huge musical comedy, you know, whatever. So it was basically just like, you know, dive in and, you know, sink or swim.
You know a lot about hip-hop culture. How do you know so much about it in addition to having shot rap videos?
I'm a young person. It's the music I listen to a lot. You know, I go to clubs that, you know, where that music's around. I did a TV show for Fox called Pump It Up, which was, you know, a rap magazine show hosted by Dee Barnes. And, you know, that was, you know, I worked with a lot of amazing people, learned there. I'm married to a guy who's in the Beastie Boys. And, you know, so my, you know, if I've been with him for 4.5 years, so, you know, I'm completely surrounded by that in a way. But, you know, I also have a completely normal life. But, you know, I know that whole,
right,
that whole world.
How did you start making rock and rap videos?
Well, I started wanting to make films, going to film school, you know, really just, you know, wanting to become a feature director. And, you know, when I got out of film school at 23 years old, nobody, you know, it was like a joke. Nobody in Hollywood was ready for, you know, the new young female director. So it was amazing, though, because MTV at that time, this is 8 years ago, you know, was open to anything new. And so I started doing kind of like alternative videos for Husker Du, True Believers, like all these college kind of bands. And then I did all these English videos, whatever, the Smiths, Depeche Mode, you know, all that style. And then these friends of mine had a label called Delicious Vinyl. And I said, I love rap music. And I did Tone Loc's Wild Thing for, you know, $350. And, you know, and that was, a lot of people thought that was my first video, but that was like my entrance into rap videos. And continually in music videos. I mean, the same month I was doing a Bette Midler video, I was doing an NWA video. The same month I was doing a Sonic Youth video, I was doing a New Kids on the Block video. So in music videos, you know, you vary a lot. And, you know, and the way I work is I also vary my style a lot. So, you know, you're pretty broad if you're really working a lot in that industry. So
when you've directed rap videos or in directing the new rap parody, CB4, do you get any surprised reactions because you're white?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, I mean, that was like, you know, BET comes onto the set and they interview all these people when, you know, all the producers
BET's Black
and the
Entertainment
cast.
Television.
Yeah, Black, you know, and then they come to me and it's like, you know, me sitting in the chair, this blonde white girl, you know. Yeah, I think it's, you know, it is different. And I don't know what to say about it other than it's, you know, I felt really confident knowing, you know, the world I was doing and also knowing that I could make a film. And I mean, the most positive thing I could say is that, you know, it doesn't really matter who you are and what you look like if you're trying to direct. I mean, if I thought that myself, all my heroes were these, like, you know, big, strong looking men with cigars in their mouths. And, you know, it's like, I don't think it really matters what the person is. It really, you know, you just try to make the best film and, you know, you know, hopefully, you know, to break those stereotypes of, you know, what a director should look like to do something, you know.
Do you ever feel that you have to work extra hard to prove yourself because you're white and because you're a woman when you're working on a hip hop film or video?
I think that I'm so busy doing whatever the job I'm doing, it's like if I had to worry about trying to prove myself, I'd be in trouble because, you know, there's a lot of stuff you have to really worry about. I think that you know, when I first did my first video with NWA and I stepped out there and they looked at me and, you know, they all made their jokes and I stood up to it, I think, you know, I proved myself then, you know, whatever, 4 years ago, that no matter what people say, you know, that I was able to do it and then also able to become, you know, be successful with it, do something that, you know, was exactly what the product was supposed to be. You know, so, you know, I think that it's interesting to be, you know, to be this. So it's, you know, it's trying to get past those stereotypes, which, you know, what, I think is an important thing.
What were some of those jokes that NWA made?
I don't want to tell you. I probably can't say it on the air, but, you know, they're things that, you know, any group of, you know, eight hardcore guys would say to a white girl, you know, and you can't like get offensive. You just stand up and you know, and then you just do your job. And, you know, I did my job and, you know, and I did something good. And now, you know, now it's like a different situation. You know, it's like, you know, I know those guys and it's okay. I mean, not like I really support all the stuff that they're doing, but, you know, you have to stand up to that stuff. You can't like just run or something or like start an argument. You just do what you're supposed to, what you need to do, you know.
Right, you can't turn it into like a political discussion.
No.
Or
No.
Right.
No.
My guest is Tamara Davis, director of CB4 and Gun Crazy. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Film director Tamara Davis is my guest. Let me ask you about your first feature film, Gun Crazy, which is, by the way, on video now. Drew Barrymore stars in it as a teenage girl who's sexually abused by her mother's boyfriend and by just about all the boys in the area. She really has, like, no understanding of her own self-worth, and she ends up with an ex-con. And do you want to take it from there and explain a little bit more?
We started the movie out that, you know, that a lot of bad things were happening to her, and she just kind of like was this type of person that this stuff just happens to. It's almost like a dog that just keeps getting kicked and just thinks that that's the way to be, is just like a kicked dog. And then something happens in her life that she still has the ability to love and have hope. And she meets this guy that she thinks, you know, is going to be this, like, you know, whatever, this person for her. And then, you know, because they have a fascination with guns, a lot of things go bad for them.
Drew Barrymore really gives a wonderful performance in the role. I'm wondering what your way was into her character. She's someone who lives in a trailer. You know, she's from a, you know, pretty poor background. No obvious way for her to get out of that. And as I said, you know, someone with very little sense of her self-worth. What have you experienced that helped you understand that character?
I think, I mean, myself, I myself didn't experience this, but, you know, I went to school in the San Fernando Valley, and there were girls that were the girls that slept around with guys. And I think the biggest thing that I wanted to say as a woman, that it's not always the girl that wears, like, the tank tops and the little tube tops and hot pants that is being sexually abused. A lot of times it's these girls that are wearing, like, you know, or just like they're physically different, you know, and, you know, it's, I just wanted to show that it wasn't these, like, you know, the girls that are out there asking for it. A lot of this stuff really goes on unnoticed in America. And, you know, I drove around throughout the, you know, the middle of the country a little bit. And, you know, we went and stayed in this town called Ely, Nevada. And, you know, Drew and I, we both did some really good research there of just like regular girls, because, you know, both of us live in Los Angeles. And, you know, it's hard to see what the rest of the country's like living here.
The town that you went to that you just mentioned, what did you, what are some of the things you found there that ended up in the movie?
Kind of just that whole thing that when you're the bad girl in town, people laugh at you and people whisper behind your back and you're constantly like snickered at. And, but yet, you know, just like this wanting to be liked and that they're the popular girls and the unpopular girls. And, kind of just like this. And also this just, a kind of a, I don't want to say slow, you know, like, I mean, in a city, there's so many things that are happening really fast, whereas out in the country, things happen a little slower and go by a little bit more unnoticed, it seems, you know, certain things. And I don't know, pink satin jackets. There were, all the girls were wearing pink satin jackets in this town.
So did you try to find the bad girl of the town to see what her experiences were like?
No, what we did is Drew, even in this little town, she would like walk down the street. There were like eight boys like building, you know, I don't know, hanging outside. And I mean, you know, I'm walking with her and she would walk up to these boys and say, you know, hi, or, you know, whatever, and talk to these kids. And we it was kind of like she was acting like the bad girl in town. We went to this like teen disco and she just did this dance with this boy that, you know, and, you know, I saw like the popular girls, what their reaction was, and the boys that, you know, how they, you know, kind of all paid attention to her. And, you know, it was interesting. So we didn't really find the bad girl. I think Drew tried to do that for us.
Hey, Nita, is it true you let Joey and Alan do it to you?
What'd they say?
Well, they said you did. I believe so. Look, you know you're pissed off at us for us giving you such a hard time at school,
but... But you realize in the end of time, we wouldn't be such dicks about it if maybe you were possibly nice to us. Like you were nice to Joey and Butthead. Those guys are fags.
Yeah. That's why we're mad at you. It's only because we like you.
You guys really like me?
Anita. Of course we do, Anita.
I'm hurt. Well, I guess I like you guys too. But you promised not to tell.
We're not going to tell no one, Anita.
Don't worry about it.
I promise.
It's interesting to me that you've directed a lot of videos, and videos are usually edited in a really rapid style. You know, what you're seeing changes every few seconds. And that's not at all the language that you used for Gun Crazy.
No.
I think, you know, our listeners might assume that it had that, like, jumpy, stylish attitude of videos, and you came up with a different visual language for Gun Crazy. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for myself, I approach each project, you know, whatever, with whatever your limitations and your benefits are. On Gun Crazy, we had 23 days to shoot. And so that meant that I didn't have a lot of time to do lots of different shots. Basically, I had to get scenes in sometimes one or two different shots. And sometimes, you know, whatever, I only had like a couple takes to do. So, you know, Lisa and I, we went back and we watched like a lot of Orson Welles films, because he would move the camera and the actors within the shot without cutting. And, you know, every time you cut, it takes so long to, you know, it takes an hour to move a camera and reset the lights and all that stuff. So I designed it so there weren't a lot of shots, because, I couldn't do a lot of shots. And I mean, I felt the movie was, you know, it doesn't really lend itself to that. I mean, you know, music videos is a whole different medium. And, you know, maybe you could work that medium into a documentary. But, you know, a movie's a totally different thing. So, you know, I really didn't want to make the mistake of doing a 90-minute music video.
Tamara Davis, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tamara Davis directed the new movie CB4 and Gun Crazy, which is out on home video. This is Fresh Air.